Waddle and Sylvie are with you as you return to the office. Just like that annoying coworker that always talks about their cat. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Grab a couple calls here. We're asking on your favorite team, and we're talking, it looks like football because we got a lot of football callers. Ike Taylor, formerly of the Steelers, said which one guy, which great Steeler would you like to plug into the team right now? And he said, me, Joe Green. We'll get to the calls in a second. Really quickly, I just wanted to throw this out because I teased it twice. A digital driver's license is coming to Wallet on iPhone. If you have an iPhone, you go to your wallet, you can put your concert tickets, your tickets for games, real easy to access when you get to the place. You don't have to worry about digging through everything. It says the new integration will allow you to scan your current license and store a digital version in the wallet app. And according to Apple, the Transportation Security Administration, TSA, is working on supporting the new digital licenses, which is great. Then you don't have to worry about carrying your wallet. You'll have your credit cards. You'll have everything on your phone. Just don't lose your phone at this point.
Well, that was my next question. Will the authorities actually, your license is on your phone. If they're okay with it, then you're good.
Right. I mean, like, I have my my insurance cards for driving for my car. I have that on my phone. So when they say, give me your driver's, your license plate, you know, your license registration, well, here's my registration, here's my insurance, you know, and if you need it. It also says the iOS 15 feature is expected to be introduced later this year. And I think this is important for some people, too, to use FaceTime. Apple's announced that FaceTime will soon be supported by on Android and Windows 10 PCs using new shareable links that open in your browser. The FaceTime update will also be part of iOS 15. So sometimes you want to FaceTime with someone, and they say, well, I have an Android. And it's like, okay, well, we can't do that then. But pretty soon you'll be able to, you know, for those who want to FaceTime, you know.
Yeah, I'm not a big FaceTime guy.
Once in a while, it all depends. Usually when I'm on the phone, you don't want to see the positions I'm in. I'm laying on my couch, or I just head and holding it up here or whatever. You know, and every once in a while, they don't know that you're in the bathroom when you're on the phone.
Yeah,
and then when they FaceTime, he goes, I'll answer him or call it back later. Let's go to the phones. 312-332-3776. Yeah, I know. That's what I'm here for. Let's go to Adam in Lockport. Hello, Adam. What's happening?
Hey, not much. Thanks, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up?
I got two. So I would go with Lance Briggs and Brian Urlacher to help Khalil Mack out, because I think that would be an awesome thing to see on the defense.
Okay, if you already have Roquan Smith, so do you still need Urlacher, or would you go with Briggs instead?
No, I'd still go with Briggs and Urlacher. Still way better than Roquan Smith. I like Roquan Smith, but that trio would be dominant.
But if you can only pick one, because we're only going to pick one, right?
Oh, okay. All right. Well, then I'm going to go with I'll go with Briggs. I'll go with Briggs on that one.
Okay. There you go.
See what you did there? You swayed him. You're an influencer.
That's right. Oh, that's scary. we got a Berwin and Fred. Hello, Fred. What's going on?
Nothing much, man. I'm just calling in to give my pick. I mean, gonna say that MJ was the default. I mean, obviously, you know, what he's translated his kind of assertion to is unquestionable. But I'm gonna go with Olin Krutz, man. I think we need him.
That's my guy. You know, that was gonna be my guy.
And I mean, not for nothing. I heard a lot of stories. You know, the guy didn't just talk it; he definitely walked it on and off the field. Definitely kind of commanded that respect from just not only the Bears teammates, but other people around the league. He never really let anybody, you know, get on his quarterback. So if you talk about position in need, if you talk about a guy that's going to come in and be a leader right away and kind of force his, you know, his way on the other guys respectfully and probably a little not, I'm going to go with Olin Krutz, man.
Nice going, Fred.
My appreciation for Olin Krutz has grown immeasurably in his post-football career, because I had heard the stories about, you know, guys covering the team, how he, you know, he controlled the offensive side of the locker room, and guys like Urlacher and whoever controlled the defensive side held guys accountable, not to mention he was a hell of a center. But can you imagine, you know, so once he got into the media and you see him on the post game, and just, I mean, the football IQ of the guy is unbelievable. It's off the charts, right?
Yeah.
And then can you imagine what he would do for a young quarterback in Justin Fields?
I know.
I mean, just, And again, you heard anecdotally stuff. You know, I wasn't around the team on a daily basis, but I heard from guys who were, you know, how much you should appreciate this guy. But it was hard to do because you did. But now you've seen him and you understand, no BS. He's got a good sense of humor, good personality. But I mean, everyone respected him, and they respected him because he put in the work.
Yeah, there's right? no doubt. Absolutely. Yeah. Before we break, let's go to Lincoln Park and Casey. Casey, quickly, who you got?
Dude, Olin Kreutz, completely agree 100%, but I'd also say that one person that makes me nervous every time they walk out there is the coach. So let's bring back a coach who knows how to coach football. I'd say either Dicko or Buddy Ryan would be my pick.
Oh, wow.
I'll go with Dicko over Nagy any day of the week.
Yeah, well, I think most people would, Casey. We appreciate the call. Really quickly, Darren got to us right away, and he said, so easy, looking at the current roster alone, it would be one guy. And I think, Sean, you and I talked about this when we were back in the IDOT bullpen. And by the way, IDOT reminds you, distracted driving really is one of the leading causes of crashes. With 1,000 Illinois crash fatalities annually, responsible driving really is a matter of life or death. Learn more at lifeordeathillinois.com. And we were talking, I think we came up with this guy, but Darren says Jimbo Covert.
Yep, that's my guy.
Yeah.
There you go.
Jimbo Covert. Especially, yeah, you just got a rookie quarterback.
Right.
Yeah.
Got to protect your guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Olin Kreutz is right there.
Yep.
I totally agree.
Yeah. And it's funny, you don't, you look at the right tackles, and if I don't say, if I said right guard and I didn't say Tom Thayer, I saw him all day long at the Mongo Palooza the other day. He was there.
Oh, that's terrific.
He was there before I got there, and he was there till at least 6:15, 6:30, right the same week after getting his hip replaced. Hmm. Because he goes, I got to get my hip replaced because I got to walk from Hallis Hall all the way to the play, you know, the practice fields, and practices start on the 15th, I think. So he said, I got to get it done, otherwise I won't be able to walk over there. So
wow.
Yeah,
he got that tells finished. You all you need to know about the wear and tear of the game. Did he have sunscreen on his head?
He was smart. He was sitting under a tent.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I know other people.
And he had a hat. Yeah, I didn't have sunscreen anyway, which is bad. We come back. We hope to be talking with the man who may leave the broadcasting industry to become a golfer. If Jesse Rogers can get off the course, he'll talk to us next in about 2 minutes on ESPN 1000.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
Hanley and Huebner here on ESPN 1000. As the guys are golfing today, Waddle and Sylvie and Caps out there. The other shows are out there at Seven Bridges in Woodridge earlier today, the Grip It and Sip It Classic. And our next guest, before he went out there, he had a chance to sit down with Jeff Passan and David Schoenfeld from ESPN.com, and they did a whole thing about the Cubs. The title of the article, Cubs are actually good, so what should they do with the trade deadline? So if you get a chance, check it out on ESPN.com. Cubs open up a three-game set with the Padres today as we go to a guy who, you know, you got to watch it when there's people with cameras and you're teeing off, Jesse.
You know, Yurko's a son of a bitch. He really is. Because that's it's the first shot of the day, no warm-up. I even used a club I don't normally use just to get it in the fairway, and of course, I put it into the ground. I mean, it went 50 yards at most, and every other shot I've had today has been good compared to that one. So, you know what? I got to get him back somehow. You don't take a video of the first shot of the day.
Yeah.
How many rounds have you played? How many rounds have you played this year? It might even be your first round, isn't it?
No. I will say my son loves to play. So, you know, the Willow Hill course in Glenview. We get out for 9 holes often. So I've played probably 5 times 9 holes because I can play early in the morning because, you know, the games don't start till later and all that stuff. So covering baseball lends itself to golf in the morning. Ask Greg Maddux or any other starting pitcher.
Yeah, and plus they only start once, you know, once every 5 days. So then, you know, they make sure they played the other days too.
Right. So I have played a bunch, and that was my worst shot of the day. That's factual.
So Jess, I know we've talked about it in the past, and with the Cubs and what they've been doing, and how, you know, I know that Bob Nightingale also, he used the major league reference that I've talked about in the last couple of weeks with the Cubs, an organization was probably expecting them to lose and then be able to get rid of guys and stuff like that. And when you sat down with Passan and Schoenfeld, I mean, how did you guys come up with it? Do you think they're going to? I know Passan said on the air the other day he thinks that's gone by the window, that there's no way the Cubs are going to trade anybody. Your thoughts on that?
Well, let me start with this. I argued with my boss, and even sometimes when I'm talking to our producers off the air, like, this is such a premature discussion.
Yes.
I mean, Brian, you've covered baseball. Nothing gets done May 30th. Nothing gets decided June 5th. You know,
you don't even know how healthy you're going to be or other teams are going to be at that point.
There's so many factors. Now, we can say if the trade deadline was tomorrow, we can play that game, but mm-hmm. that game doesn't even fit because – that means there's 4 months left of the season, and that's not a logical hypothetical because the trade deadline comes with 2 months left. So it's just a weird sort of thing to do, but my bosses wanted to do it. We sat down and talked about it. And if you read the article, we're in agreement in a lot of things. The place I disagree with is when anybody says, well, yeah, they don't have the starting pitching, but maybe they can bullpen their way to a World Series.
No.
No, you can't. Not with rookies being your top pitchers. Not with Albert Alzolay probably being your top starter. They're young. They've never gone through 162 and October. There's a wall they're going to hit, and the Cubs are going to be very careful with them in order to even avoid that wall. So they may back off of them at the most important time of the season. So I don't think they can bullpen their way to a championship. Now, it's hard to do even with veterans that have been there before. So the answer would have to be to trade for a couple starters. I don't know why they would go all in to do that when they just traded a starter, meaning Yu Darvish. So my feeling is, as I wrote, I do think it's a two-man race. I think the Cardinals are in big trouble, as Jeff and I agree with. The Flaherty injury really kills them. They just got swept at home. But they're going to recover a little bit. They'll be on the edges there. I do think it's a two-man race. I do think Milwaukee has better starting pitching and better equipped to last the six-month season and end up on top. I think the Cubs will be around, you know, 3-4 games out if they're not in first place. But I don't think it's enough to push their chips all in. Final thought, I mentioned this in the morning. I mean, this is factual. The Brewers play 23 straight games right now against -500 teams, while the Cubs are in the toughest month of the season. So as we head into July, I would think they're going to be a few games out, maybe even more, and that'll change the calculus a little bit. People still have the 19-8 month of May on their minds. That's going to change this month. And I will tell you, if it doesn't, if they surprise me and have another unbelievable month of June, well, then that does change the calculus in my mind. So there is time to figure this thing out. But I think the odds, and the word I use in the article, is the variables just are not in their favor.